I would like to read a word of God before we pray from Philippians 2, the first verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us stand and pray. We thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, your word says, you have humbled yourself. Yes, you have walked the lower way. Lord, give us this grace that we may walk this path as you walked it, to the death on the cross. O Lord, you took it all upon yourself and then paid the price. O Lord, we worship you in this evening hour. We thank you for having accomplished everything, and that you redeemed us. Oh, we worship you. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. Oh, Lord, continue to speak to us. But let us also all be found in this humility before you all the time. Oh, Lord, grant it to me. Grant it to all of us. Let us be as you were when you walked this earth. This is our prayer. This is our desire, in the precious name of Jesus. Bless your word. Bless the brothers. Bless Brother Frank. Bless all of us who have come to hear your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We can't help but be thankful for what he has done. And what he does is well done forever. People do one thing and then have to do it again because they have increased in knowledge. They have better possibilities. Other plans are suddenly there. With God, it is quite different. His plan is finished and lies ready. And if we let ourselves fit into that plan of God, really let ourselves be inserted, that we are no longer observers, but a living body of the Lord, members through whom He can reveal Himself as He wishes, which He can use where and when He pleases. People who no longer live to themselves, but to the One who died for them. That is the desire of us all. And because there are promises in the Word of God for this, it is not only our desire, but the will of God. And if it is the will of God, then He Himself will see to it that it is fulfilled in your life and in mine. That we become witnesses of the entire fulfillment of Scripture and of all the promises that God has given. When you read the Holy Scriptures, whether it's Paul, Peter, John, James, they all wrote in a way as if the Lord would return in their time. They all lived in anticipation of the Lord's return, as if it would actually take place. And that is the right attitude before the face of God. They have not been mistaken. On the contrary, for them, after all, the Lord has come. He has taken them home into His glory. But they did not live and serve and write only for themselves or for the generation in which they lived. They wrote in the wise foreknowledge of God for you and me, and this by the commission of the Lord. They have had to write down all the things that became great to you and me today, which you and I see fulfilled today. They have had to write them down because the prophetic spirit, the Spirit of God, rested on them, and they did not know and did not think about when the time would be. They only expected it because they were so filled with it. And I think it must be the same for us. We must be seized by the Word of God and be revived by the Spirit of God, that the things that have been written down can become reality. You all know, it's so easily said, I died with Christ. Paul wrote it to the Romans. And we have often mentioned it, whether in the sermon and also in songs, in prayers. And when it comes down to it, there is still the question whether it is so, whether we have died with Christ. And when He says, I am risen with Him to a new life, now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, then that is also a very profound word, that He not only said, but experienced. And Brother Branham did put it that way. He said, all that God was and that was in him came into Christ and was manifested in him. And all that was in Christ has been poured into the church by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think he put it this way. God has poured himself into Christ, if one may put it that way, and Christ into the church. And this makes up this divine unity of which we read here, for which our Lord prayed and pleaded. He said, not my will, but thine be done. You all know, one doesn't like to say it, but he also had a human nature. He was found in fashion as a man. He ate and drank. He slept and he was tired. But it was the divine nature which absorbed the human one. And we all know, it was for the purpose that God became man, to give us humans the opportunity to become children of God. I almost wanted to use another word, to deify us. The scripture says that to those to whom the word came, they were called gods. God was the great Almighty. From him came the Word. He was the Word. And those who received the Word thus received God into them. And also this Word, Brother Branham formulated. He says, they were little gods. Not gods to be worshipped, but brought into the divine stand as sons and daughters of God, brought into connection with God, and that already in this life, already when they walked on earth. And that word refers to the men of God in the Old Testament to whom the word came, and they were already called that. Although there was no possibility that this word could become reality, what is to be with us in the New Testament? Also this, Brother Branham said, forgive me if I mention his name unintentionally a few times, but he said, when the body of the Lord realizes its position before God and would take up its task and carry it out, what could happen here? He brought the comparison. Some have the big bank account and don't know how to write the check, and the others could write checks non-stop and have nothing in the account. I don't know if you heard this comparison from him, but he wanted to make the comparison with the people who are on the side of God. He wanted to express the full salvation, the full gospel, in the true sense of the word, not just after the letter. You know very well, many things are called full gospel, and it is half empty, sometimes even less than that. Full is full, and that includes every promise, every word of God, from beginning to end, and all that God has purchased for us in Christ. He has described this church of the Lord as having access to the whole account of God. but not having the faith to claim the thing. And the others who want to claim everything, they do not have access to that account at all. Their signature is not recognized. God has given His signature on the cross of Calvary. He made the covenant legally binding, and all the promises of God are yes and are amen. But through us, that's what Paul says. Without us, nothing happens. When I say us, I mean the body of the Lord. I don't mean a few people gathered here. But like Paul, I mean the whole people of God. Anyone can say that God's promises are yes and amen. But the amen is through us. Without us, there's no amen. Because the amen means that is how it is. That is how it happens. And the event cannot be without us. It is this word here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. I'm actually looking for another scripture. I'm not quite prepared for this. Where is the word? Through us. Yes, through us. It's here. I only need to read on. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Just as God glorified Himself in Christ, and everything that was prophesied about Him was fulfilled and received confirmation through Him, was manifested in Him, so for all the promises of God, the yes and the amen already lie in Him, but the realization happens through us, through the body of the Lord, and we may be part of it in all humility, but without fear and without any detraction, with joy, we may be part of the body of the Lord, part of the redeemed. More than redeemed, no man can be. If you are redeemed, you are redeemed. There's only one redemption. And if this redemption has become your portion, then you are a child of God and can sing, I'm redeemed, I may well boast, redeemed by the Savior's blood. The enemy may point his finger. I wish he would point to the cross of Calvary, to the point where your and my redemption took place. But to the cross he turns his back. And then he starts pointing. We turn our backs to him and point to the cross and the crucified. There is no other way, and there is no other possibility. Only those who turn their backs to the cross will look at themselves and will perhaps see that the enemy is pointing at them. But the moment we look at the cross and the crucified and know that there is an eternal redemption accomplished, not a redemption for a few years. That would be your redemption and mine. That is how we would act, but that is not how God acts. God has brought about an eternal redemption for you and for me, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and has established the covenant with you and with me, to reveal himself to you and to me, and to make his will to be done through my life and through your life. All we need is to believe. And we know that faith is something different compared to hope. I spoke about this on Sunday in Zurich. I don't want to repeat myself, but it always happens that one repeats oneself. A hope still has a point of reference, somewhere where you can start and where you say to yourself, yes, maybe it will work out. But faith no longer has a point of reference, not a thing you could grab. Faith is a divine inspiration in your heart. You get grabbed. You get seized inside. And then you go forward. You all know Abraham. He believed God. He didn't have just a hope. Hope can have something human in it, that you say to yourself, maybe it will work out after all. Yes. But faith renounces the maybe. Faith renounces the point of reference. Faith takes God at his word and experiences that there is nothing left to hope for, like with Abraham. If the miracle had happened while there was still something to hope for, then the miracle would have been very small. But the miracle happened when there was nothing left to hope for, when one only had to believe and could believe, for there was nothing left to hope for. If he could still have hoped, he would have hoped, and hoped he might have a few hundred more years. But when hope was basically over, then he had to believe, whether he liked it or not. There was nothing left for him but to believe in that situation. We are children of Abraham. It is written, he became the father of many nations, and we as the believers, it is God's guidance. I believe in God's guidance. You too? I believe in God's guidance. And the leadership of God is very different from what our leadership would look like. Our leadership would be like this, military style, with all the honors. We would know how to handle things. The leadership of God is sometimes incomprehensible for us as human beings. And yet we agree with the word. Know that the Lord leads his saints wonderfully. And looking at those saints, sometimes we would think they were not, and yet they were. The word holy has nothing to do with sanctimonious, but it means separated by God and set aside for a very specific service. Also this we have heard very clearly in Brother Branham's sermon. The combination of the word holy means set apart by God for a very special purpose. And that is what God has done. He has set us apart, called out, according to the scripture, ye my people, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Then ye shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. God is our God. We know no other, and we do not want another. Here we see that for all the promises of God, the yes and the amen is in Christ, for the glory of God by us. the realization is by us. Often we have said it, what Christ began is continued through the church. It is not a new commission, a new thing. It is the same thing and the same commission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. No other commission, one commission, one purpose, one goal. And if God has predestined us, then we should rise up in faith and go forward. If there was still something to hope for, then perhaps we could wait a long time. But God allows situations to come that are more than hopeless. And then the last support is knocked away from us. And we are thrown on God. We are dependent on Him. And then faith has to kick in. And then it becomes apparent whether we have believed, as the scripture says, or whether we have only carried a hope for certain things. You all know, it can really be different if it is a divine hope, for my sake, Christ in us, the hope of glory, then it is something quite different. But is it a human hope? Then we will be put to shame with it. Because God wants to help us to be honored by it. If we could help ourselves, where would He be glorified? Not at all. And that is why God has made it so, that the sinner cannot save himself. He needs a Savior, and he who is lost needs a Redeemer. That is how God has arranged it, and that is what we must abide by. So, the promises of God are yes and are amen. For the glory of God, in Christ, in Him is the yes and amen, both promise and fulfillment, but it has to be done through us. That is what the church is for. Now let us return briefly to this precious word that we read in the word of introduction. These men of God, who were led by the Spirit of God, they expressed the thoughts of God. And it says here, if there be therefore any admonition in Christ, if, the word if, and then the second, in Christ, only he who is himself in Christ can act in him and through him, or he through us. If there be therefore any admonition in Christ, you all know between an admonition can be a difference, as the heaven is higher than the earth. An admonition not given in Christ can be so crushing and devastating that a person may not be able to find his way in life. An admonition given in Christ can instantly bring about a miracle of God, and the person concerned is helped. But then it is not you and not I who have acted. Then Christ has acted through you and me. That is the great difference. Everything we can do, and also this now, why do I actually come here tonight with such a number of statements? But you all know, Brother Branham had referred to Billy Graham, and he said, if Christ was taken out of the church, then 98% of the church would go on just the same without noticing that he has gone out. What was he trying to say? That 98% of the total activity in the church is man-made and under human leadership, and God doesn't come to his right at all. And he probably said that in the context, in the sermon, when the people left the Savior in the temple when he was 12 years old, and they traveled 2 or 3 days, and suddenly they realized that he was not with them at all. Only after days they realized that he was not with them at all, and they began to look after him among relatives. And where did they find him? Exactly where they left him. That's exactly where they found him. And he said, you all know that rebuke that was given when Mary said, your father and mother are looking for you. And the Lord immediately corrected and said, I must be in my father's business. That was not the carpentry somewhere. That was the temple, the house of God. And when we come today to practice self-criticism, and that is also part of life with God, that we practice self-criticism, but not to such an extent that we become despondent, but only like Abraham. He was aware of his lifeless, useless, withered, his whole being, which is no longer functional. He realized it, but he didn't look at it and stop there. He looked at the Lord as he would see him. There's a big difference between perceiving things and saying, but there's no life. Yes, sir, that's a wonderful assessment, but we don't stop there. We look to the one who works all life and who has given the promises to be fulfilled through us. And in that moment where we believe it, the miracle of God can happen. Then it continues here. If any comfort of love, who has a loving encouragement in these unlovely times? Have you ever experienced that someone gives you a really loving encouragement? Have you already experienced it? I have experienced it, but from unbelievers. Yes, I have experienced it, but from unbelievers. I have to say that here freely and openly. I have experienced it, and I asked myself, who is now actually a believer? Yes, we have to put our hand on the heart. Where are the people who can be used by God? Where are these qualities we are talking about? They are written here on paper, but are they in your heart and mine, in your life and mine? Have they really been manifested by the nature of Jesus? And only then it says, if any fellowship of the Spirit, so not just a fellowship of any kind, but a fellowship of the Spirit, a fellowship in which the Holy Spirit comes to his right, a fellowship that the Holy Spirit has brought about in you and me. And if we have it with God, then we have it among ourselves in the same way. You can't really show any other face before God than what you show to people. And if you try, then God sees through the mask and says, friend, you look completely different. I've seen you very differently there and then, as you now appear here before my face. And the Lord, if you could hear his voice, he would say, listen, I hardly recognize you. so it could happen to me and to you when God watches us and sees how we act somewhere, how we react, and what we do. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, you all know, verse 5 is only the explanation for the first four, because verse 5 points to the first four. Did not our Lord have compassion? Did he not suffer with those who suffered? And this is to be your attitude and mine. Heartfelt compassion and mercies. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Not mine and not your mind, like-minded. And that is the mind of Christ. This is later on said here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it says, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So this is what God wants to give me and you, to bring about in me and you all knowledge, all teaching, all prophecy will not take us up unless the Lord sees his image in you and in me, that his love can be poured out in us through the Holy Spirit. Everything else misses the mark. Then it goes on here, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Everything that is done out of bossiness will become a curse, because one's own ego will be brought to the fore, and one's own ego has the least place in the house of God. Here God wants to come into his own, and nothing out of bossiness. Yes, always wanting to be right. Bossiness. That's quite a summary of what we sometimes think we have. And perhaps we are also right. If we then have this bossiness, then we actually know what happens out of it. Do nothing out of bossiness or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a thing. To whom this is granted, he can thank God. A miracle has happened to him in the depth of his heart. When one brother can esteem another higher than himself, in humility, yes, there's no other way. There's no other way. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other higher than himself. Without humility, this is impossible. And without love, the first part is also impossible. But God is able to work in you both, to will and to do. We may sit here tonight and say, my God, if all this is to be, when will we reach the goal? You know what? We make it difficult for God sometimes, because we measure with our standards. God can do a complete transformation in your heart and in my heart tonight under the preaching of his word. He can bring about what we read here in this word tonight in your life and in mine. We just have to understand that the word is not going out to anybody tonight. It's going out to you and to me, and that God is speaking to us tonight for the purpose of bringing about all that is being talked about here in your life and in my life. And then we become happy on our inside and say, Lord, how faithful, how gracious are you? How much effort do you take with a worm, with a dust? What did you see in me? What moved you to pull me out and make me your own? Then we see our wretchedness and our lowliness and recognize His greatness and His glory. And what did Brother Branham say? He says that the great thing about God is that He, as the great and almighty, was able to humble Himself in this way. And He says that man, who is actually so low, he has no possibility at all. Here we read it. He humbled Himself, became obedient to the point of death on the cross. The death on the cross. Crucified with Christ. It is a very deep word. A word that God wants to make real in our lives. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is also part of it. Own advantages in the kingdom of God will not serve any purpose of God. On the contrary, it will get in the way of God. He who is in the kingdom of God must be selfless. He cannot think of himself, just as our Lord did not think of himself. Who was he thinking of when he came down? Was he thinking of himself? Was it about him? No, it was about you and it was about me. What about when he went via Gethsemane to Golgotha? Was that his business? Or was it yours and mine, for whose sake he went there? Nothing of his own, but only the will of God, which was to be carried out. Let no one have his own advantage in mind, but each one also that of the other. And then it can happen that what we give to others from the heart, from God, this God will give us from the heart. It is sometimes the case that you have to grant it to the other person and pray for it. And if you are here today and say, Lord, I myself have not yet attained it. Paul also says it in one place. Although he had experienced so many blessings with God, such great things, he says in humility, not as if I had already attained it or had already reached perfection. No, but I follow after it. All those who are already ready, with them God may already be finished. As long as we are still on this earth, these are days of grace and preparation that God gives us, you and I, to work in us, and then, ultimately, to work through us and fulfill His word. Let each one look not to his own advantage, but to the advantage of the other. I believe that this is the kind of attitude that God has worked in part. I can't say it any other way. I know that it is so. Then it says, let this mind, which mind? The one we just talked about here, written in the first four verses. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here he gives the example from whom we are to learn, by whom we are to measure ourselves. And then, though he had the form of God, and so forth, you all know that he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he, being in the form of God, was made in the likeness of men, so that we, who we are in the form of man, can be made in the likeness of God, and that Christ could take form in our hearts and in our lives through faith. If we pray in faith, God will reward faith and will bless us with everything. You all know, I still think of the Lord's promise. I straighten myself up by that. And I rejoice inwardly that God, in all the tribulation, in all the suffering, has a consolation. And the consolation of God is not cheap. It is very precious and very expensive. And when we are told here, what eye has never seen, what ears never heard, this God let happen to us, because we have heard his word. That's the thing. Not because we heard this, that, or the other, but because we heard his word. This is not about heavenly glory. Of this it is already written, that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, what has not entered into any man's heart, this God prepared for those who love him. This is about glory. But this shall be done here with you and me. This shall and will be done on us. What eye has never seen, what ears have never heard, God lets happen on us, because we have heard his word. For me, this is yes and amen. For me, that is a promise of God through the Holy Spirit. And I cling to it. And I know that Brother Branham has said that such things happened. That is, people asked what happened. They were so overwhelmed by the things that they had no words to describe what had even happened. And they went away, raising their hands, and thanked God. I can believe that, because it agrees with what Brother Branham saw. And when he says so wonderfully, I saw the unfolding of the third pull. Some make more of it, and they turn the crank without the time of God being here. And what happens? Nothing. But the moment God responds, there will be nothing more to say. There will only be worship. Everyone will know what God has done on him. We will be speechless. We will be so amazed that we will not know what to say next. In deepest need, the gracious God has given us such a promise. What eyes have never seen, what ears never heard. Much has been heard, and God has done great things, and there is much recorded in the Bible. I have read much throughout the 30 years, and I heard much of what God has done. But the end and the things that God will do in the completion will surpass anything that God has done until now. And that's a thing I'm walking towards in rock-solid faith. Will you say, Brother Frank, is there a hope somewhere? Hope doesn't interest me. Faith interests me. Faith in the promises of God. And when he says, but you are dead, all right, then I'm dead. But God is not dead. God is alive. And he will carry out his word and confirm his promises. We were also dead. An old grandfather, maybe walking with a cane, but exactly that was the miracle of God. And here we are told, what eye never saw. There have been many eyes on earth. We have watched when many things happened that ears have never heard. Many have heard many things. This God lets happen on us because we heard his word. No wonder, therefore my soul praises you, as the song goes, because we see by faith what you revealed to us. Do you see it by faith? Then you see it right. If you look through the glasses of unbelief, then you see this building with empty chairs, the greatest catastrophe of all time. Then you see so many things that you can't see properly at all. And that your view for the essential and for the divine and for the lasting is no longer there at all, and you see everything else. And we have to look away from everything else if we want to see God and what he does. There is no other way. And this is the way God wants to lead us. I can't help but believe. For God has spoken, and God has sent his prophet, and revealed his word, and made his will known. We have no choice but to believe with all our hearts. And I say unto you, he that believeth, as Jonah, may be cast into the water. But God leads him out again. One look at him and his holy temple was enough. What did Solomon say in his prayer? If any man be in distress, wheresoever he be, and lift up his eyes unto this place, then wilt thou, O God, hear from heaven. God was obligated. It was a spirit-led prayer. This man was down at the foot of the mountains. Then he cried to God, and God saw him. He preserved him. He let him go down, and he made him go up. Everything God has done. Oh, that you couldest believe, you would see miracles. Jesus would stay at your side, as the song goes. Not just a human hope. If hope, then divine hope. But above all, living faith. Therefore my soul praises you. Therefore my heart and mouth praise you. Because in faith we see what you have made known to us. As the song goes. In faith we already see the end. In faith we see the last things in their fulfillment. In faith we see the consummation. In faith we see it already. And I tell you, I have not only seen it by faith, I have seen it like this. The transformation and rapture. I didn't just see it in the air, taken straight up from the face of the earth. God has spoken, and his word is yes and amen, and it must be fulfilled through us. And unless we believe, I tell you, brothers and sisters, and with this I come to a close, if we don't believe, God has a right to send us down. We have seen too much, we experience too much for us to retreat. And I say today in this place that all who have witnessed these years, they have a responsibility before God, and they will have to answer for it. There is no going back. There is only a forward by the grace and help of our God. When has God done such things? Should we turn our backs on it all? No, we trust in our God, and He will bring it to pass. There's no other way. Oh Lord, give me this faith. May God give you and me this living faith. Let me tell you plainly that all those who went out and who at some point did a U-turn, they remained in the wilderness. It was no use to them to go through the Red Sea, the baptism unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The end will be crowned, and God has only one way that He leads us, and that is His way, which He has revealed to us in this last time. And He will be with us and will give us grace for the sake of His holy name. We will never give room to unbelief at any price. If a person says something in unbelief, I have sometimes resolved to say the right thing. So far I didn't do it yet. But God must help us that we have the right thoughts and words at the right hour. This is not a matter of man. It is about the cause of God. Oh, what promises has God given us over the years? How many have been fulfilled to the letter? Who could put a finger on it up to a certain point? No one. God has done everything in a wonderful way, and even greater things He will do. He will complete His work. Can you believe it? Can I believe it? May God bless us all. All who believe will see the glory of God, here and also there. Those who do not believe will not see it here and will not see it there either. But those who believe will see it here and will see it there. And only when God's glory has been revealed here in your life and in mine will we also be revealed with Him in glory there. This is Colossians 3, verse 3. When Christ has been revealed in our lives, then we too will be revealed with Him in glory. May God grant us grace and give us tonight short prayers of faith and thanksgiving by His grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.